to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
You may grab your seats, beautiful people. What a beautiful scripture. I was going to wear my meerkat outfit from my personal collection, but thought that might be a bit of a distraction. I don't have a meerkat outfit. If anyone ever has a meerkat outfit, that is my favourite animal. I think it would probably look more like a large rat, which would probably be terrifying. Anyway, welcome. That was all off script. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Welcome to Easter Sunday. Oh, yay, yay, yay. Welcome to Celebration Sunday. So great that you could join us here today. Give me a big smile. Come on. Give me a big smile. Let's just get those shoulders down a little bit. So great to have a packed house here on this glorious Easter morning. Right, Easter, by definition, the Christian festival that commemorates the resurrection of Jesus rising from the dead. Easter, a day central on our Christian calendar. Easter, the oldest and most important festival of the Christian church. Easter, a day that for some of us has something to do with bunnies and eggs, and is there some reference to maybe new life that I have heard? Easter, one of the cornerstones of the Christian faith. Easter Sunday, today, the day to celebrate the person of Jesus and his remarkable, beautiful, astonishing, and yet moment. This is why we are here today. And so if you find yourself here today, maybe by invitation, tradition, obligation, or maybe by passion, commitment, celebration, or a sense of within you, why would I be anywhere else, Em, on Easter Sunday? Or perhaps you are a combination of that or in between that. However it is that you find yourself here today on this Easter Sunday, let me welcome you, Easter people. As we return to the Easter story today, as we've just heard Pastor Cherry read, as we return to the tomb, I nearly said return to the womb. It's kind of a theological reference there. That is Christmas. I also preached at Christmas. As we return to the tomb, as we've just heard in Matthew's account, let us see again with fresh eyes the Easter story. Let us, as we return to the tomb, let us see who we are. Now, what do I mean by that? This story, this account in Matthew that's actually in all four Gospels, tells us who we are as an Easter people. Us as an Easter people, it provides an invitation, a roadmap, a shape. This Easter story is designed to intersect with our very own story, our very own lives here and now. The story of Easter Sunday, the story of resurrection, is a story for us all. And so as we land in this portion of Scripture today, this may be a reminder. This may be a reminder for who you are and who you are continually leaning into being. You may have been walking in the resurrection, in the life, in the truth and the love of Easter for months, for years, for decades. Or for you here today, this Easter story may feel like a beautiful, maybe unexpected invitation. An opportunity to actually see the world, to see Easter, to see Jesus with new eyes. So wherever you fit in that gamut of experience, let's do this today, Easter people. Prayerfully, Lord, may the reality of the resurrection change our lives again today. And so in this story of Matthew, as it was just read to us by Pastor Cherry, this historically accurate story that appears not only in Matthew's Gospels, but all the other Gospels, which all have, to a degree, varying styles because of the author's context and the author's take on situation, In this story that we've just heard in Matthew, I want us to identify that there are three key central characters that we have just heard about. We hear of the Marys, the angel, and of course the central of most central characters, Jesus. And as I take us back to this passage of Scripture, I want you to see what these central characters tell us about ourselves. I want us to see through the eyes of the Easter story who we are as Easter people. Firstly, let's see the Marys. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, as we've just heard, he refers to it as Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. I always feel a bit ripped off, poor other Mary. It's because there's a number of Marys in the Bible, and Mary Magdalene is often the one that is most known. And what is interesting is all the other three gospel accounts refer to the fact that it is women that arrive first at the tomb. Not all other authors necessarily mention it specifically, the Marys, but they all account for the fact that it was women. Now, this is a really important thing, because if this was a made-up story, there is no way that the authors would have said that it was Mary's, that it was women that were first to arrive, because there is no way that they had any credibility. If they then had to stand up in court and attest to this event, their witness there would have been utterly discredited, because them as women didn't have any authority. They didn't have any validity in terms of being held up in court. So even to this day, people are skeptical of this story. They think it's made up. They think that the disciples took the body. But if you were going to make up this story, you actually wouldn't have women as the central characters, because it is so far-fetched, it is more likely to be true. So all four Gospels account for the women being first to arrive. Now, we've just heard it read from the Scriptures. I want to take us now into the words of the prayer poet Peter Gregg. And just imagine this story a little bit more imaginatively. Let's land right in the narrative of it, of Easter Sunday as Easter people. It's just before dawn, so I imagine the subtle pink of the sky in the east, the sound of the cicadas and the first birds singing. I glance at my two companions, noticing their puffy eyes from crying and a bad night's sleep. We nod nervously at the two Roman guards. The garden is beautiful, even in this half light, its trees and the scent of flowers on the dew of a new morning. Want us to catch here the time context. This account in Matthew, and in all other accounts, it references that the time of day that these women were making this journey was just before dawn, or early dawn, or the new day was dawning. In fact, the Greek word here is that it was toward the dawn. What this means is that it was likely darkness, with only the subtlest, faintest of light poking through. Now, the Marys, the women, went to the tomb so early in the morning because they were conscientious about keeping the Sabbath, but they also didn't want to delay any more in visiting their Lord. So the scholars suggest that these women departed their home around 4 a.m. at earliest dawn. So by the time they had reached the tomb where Jesus was laid, the sun had gently risen, wasn't in its full flourishing beaming light, but it had certainly started to come up. These two women, Mary Magdalene and these two women who loved and knew Jesus dearly, heavy with grief, confusion and sorrow, walking in hushed, tear-stained whispers to tend to the body with special spices that Luke 24:1 tells us that they had prepared. Early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they'd prepared. These spices that they're carrying had both a practical and a symbolic purpose. The spices were to counteract the odour of decay that the body would now have had, and yet they were also to serve as an expression of loving devotion. But let's land back in this timestamp, friends, this 4 a.m. concept, this towards the dawn. These women, these Marys, commence this journey towards Jesus' body with hazy visibility, with a lack of clarity. They commence this journey towards Jesus when all had seemed lost. They carry with them, no doubt, more questions than answers. They are in the threshold of the in-between. They are carrying spices which probably feel a bit futile or even misplaced. But these women, they begin their journey in the dark. Urgent and yet hesitant. Desperate to see their Lord and yet desperate not to. Ready to love and yet reluctant to farewell. Mourning and yet moving. Hope languishing, fumbling in their footing on this dirt-stricken path. They make their journey to Jesus in the dark. And like the Marys, us as Easter people, friends, us who gather on Easter Sunday, this story shows us the resurrection reality that Easter people head toward Jesus in the dark. This may be you in this season, one who feels that they are barely able to see in the dark. There may be a place, a context, a moment in your life right now that feels void of form and texture, lacking visibility and clarity. It may feel like in this portion of your life that you can barely see the hand in front of your face. It may feel like there are more questions than answers. It may feel like a dark room of your life and your soul. You may even feel like that darkness has permeated through an entire dark chapter. Friends, Easter people, keep moving toward Jesus in the dark. Move in the direction of his love. Move in the direction of worship and honor. Move in the direction of devotion and rejoicing. Put one foot in front of the other, because those who will seek him will find him. Friends, don't abandon your devotion. Don't pack up your spices. Don't sleep through the dawn. Don't overlook the goodness of God that he has already deposited in your life, but you are now so overwhelmed with the darkness that you can no longer see ahead of you. Don't crave only what you can see and know and understand and make sense. Friends, Easter people, head towards Jesus in the dark. Move towards Jesus in the dark. Keep moving towards Jesus in the dark. And just as the Mary shows us, you will find him. You will see him. The light will shine. The dawn will come. Move towards Jesus in the dark. Set out in the dark. Keep moving in the dark. In the words of the beautiful professor, author, and poet Kate Bowler. Oh God, we stretch out our hands to you in this early Easter darkness. We need you to pull us up and set us on our feet again, for we are weak and tired. God, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Spirit, have mercy. God, on that first Easter morning, while it was still dark, women went alone to the tomb to do what could be done to honor you, though hope had drained away. Blessed are we who stretch out our hands to you in doubt and grief. In sickness of body and mind and spirit, our prayers not fully realized, rejoicing anyway, for that is what makes us Easter people. Carrying forth the realized hope of the resurrected one, singing our alleluias great and small while it is still dark. Easter people, keep moving towards Jesus in the dark. Let's turn our attention to the second of the key characters that we see here in this excerpt from Matthew, the angel. The angel shows us another facet, attribute, shape and posture of us as Easter people. Matthew 28, I'm going to start again from verse 1. I'm going to start from verse 2. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shining like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying." Let's imaginatively visualize this again a little bit more from Pete Gregg as he poetically unpacks this. Suddenly a rumble, a thunder, everything shakes, many shrieks, the soldiers curse, and a dazzling light appears. Squinting in terror at its brightness, I make out the shadow of a man or a woman within its light. He or she pushing that massive boulder aside while the guards lie motionless, unconscious, or pretending to be so. The angel hops onto the rock and I notice light dancing inside the tomb, and then the angel looks at me, smiles at me and says in the loudest whisper I have ever heard, "Do not be afraid." Here, the angel, perched on a rock, no less. I just think that's God's sense of humour. Why is he perched on the rock? He states, comically, "Don't be afraid." Again, quite comical, given that the guards have just fell into a dead faint and I think everyone there would have been particularly afraid. The angel says, the angel tells the women, true to his word, that Jesus has risen. This rise was imminent. This rise was foretold. This rise was promised. And yet in this moment, in this story between Friday and now, the women had forgotten. Because you see, friends, the story had been unpacked nothing like what they thought. The Marys are staring at the stim, grim and stark reality of a dead Lord. And they've started this journey in the dark with a racing mind and a tear-stained face and broken hearts. And they're waiting between Good Friday and what is now Easter Sunday, and hope has been held in an abrupt cup. Now we have the benefit of knowing how this story continues. We can sit in the tension of Good Friday as we did here and as many Christians did globally. We can sit in Good Friday knowing Easter Sunday is coming and Jesus will conquer death. But the Marys, the disciples, the followers of Jesus did not have that memo, or they'd forgotten it at least. The stark reality of the crucifixion of Jesus shouted disappointment, betrayal, grief. I imagine many of them were thinking, it's a lie. What did we believe? Who did we believe? He's gone. The Messiah, the Son of God, clearly he was not. He was just like everyone else. The new day, the living hope, the conquering death, the season shift, the comma where it looks like a full stop, the stream in the desert, the cool shadow in the valley, the green pasture in the landscape, all of this had been pushed aside and forgotten and put down because they had forgotten the story had an end yet. The Marys had forgotten that Jesus was about to rewrite history. Yes, they could recall something way back in their mind about new life and conquering death and ascension, but the reality they were faced with right now shouted the opposite. And yet this angel, perched on a rock, perched on the tombstone, reminds the Marys and reminds us all, verse 6, he isn't here, he is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Here, the angel reminds the Marys that Jesus is who he says he is and has done what he said he would do. Reality had knocked the wind out of the Marys. It had knocked the anticipation of the promise out of them. But friends, Easter people, we must remind ourselves, posture ourselves, keep returning to the tomb in our life to remember that we are called to live in anticipation. We are to live as those who have a new life. We are to live in victory, live in beauty where there seems only ashes, live in streams where there seems only deserts, live in life where it seems there is only death. We are called to live in resurrection because Easter people anticipate the arise. The angel here declares, "He has risen just as he said it would for you, for us here and now because of Jesus. It has changed because he said it would. It is different because he said it would be. It has living hope on it just as he said it would. It ain't over just as he said it wouldn't be. It is new just as he declared." Easter people, your story isn't over. Anticipate the resurrection. Anticipate the rising from the ashes, the dirt, the dust. It may look like all hope is lost and buried and forgotten here, but anticipate the arise. We are called to live with this posture internally, this shape internally. It's who we are. It's what Jesus gave us. He is risen from the dead just as he said it would happen. Friends, what has God whispered in your heart that you've forgotten or pushed down? Or let go of, taken yourself out of? What feels dead? What maybe feels like a pipe dream? What needs rising again? Where do you need to anticipate the arise again? Where do you need to anticipate the life coming from death again? Where do you need to anticipate the breakthrough, the movement, the shift, the living hope? Where do you need to anticipate the beauty from the ashes, the dancing instead of the mourning? Where do you need to anticipate the light shining through the darkness? Friends, Easter people, because of Jesus. Because he did who he what he said he would do and is who he said he is, we can live anticipating the arise. Friends, we can walk in the dark and hold light in our hands. We can step out on our journey in the dark. We can be aware of the darkness in our lives. We can lean into the complex, grief-stricken, lament spaces and yet hold light in our pocket. Hold light in our backpack. See the light even not in full view ahead of us. We are those as Easter people who anticipate the arise. The angel reminds us that this is who we are. The resurrection promise. This story, the promise of winter shifting, of rain going, of clouds clearing, of hope rising. Friends, this has been my prayer and my hope for myself personally and us corporately this year. Earlier this year, Holy Spirit dropped a scripture deep in my heart from Song of Solomon. It says, "My beloved spoke to me and said, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Arise.'" You might not want "my darling" there. That might feel too feminine, but that's okay. This scripture is for all. It's not just for a women's focused audience. "Arise, arise, my beloved. Arise, friends. Arise, Easter people. Arise internally. Arise in our posture. Arise in our outlook. Arise in our head, in our faces, in our countenance and our eyes. See, the winter is past. The death has gone. The rains are over. The clouds are shifting. Anticipate the arise." Psalm 121 reminds us that we are to lift our eyes to the hills because that is where our help comes from. Arise, arise, Easter people, anticipate the arise. And thirdly, the main character of all main characters that we see embedded in this story, the reason we have gathered here today, our focus today, of course, is Jesus. Matthew 28, down at verse 9. And as they went, this is the Marys, Jesus met them and greeted them. They ran to him, grasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there." Once Marys had come into contact with Jesus and they recognized him, and it stopped Mum in her tracks today as well, they grasped his feet. They grasped his feet. To grasp someone's feet here requires us being low to the ground. It required the Marys stopping in a posture of humility. This getting down on the ground and grasping his feet, it denotes supplication. There's a pleading humility here in the Marys. "You're here, Lord, don't go again." They wanted to hold his physical form. They desperately didn't want him to leave. And yet we know how this story ends. We know the physical form of Jesus does leave the earth as he ascends to the Father, as it tells us into John 20. But at the very end of Matthew's gospel, after this encounter with the women and the disciples, the very last line at the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says this to the disciples: "Be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus here gives his followers one of the best, most assuring, most mic-dropping promises. He tells us that he is with us always. Because of his resurrection and ascension, because he defeated death, because of the gift of the Spirit, Jesus is with us always. God is with us always. The Holy Spirit is with us always. So we don't need to remember Jesus like some historical figure, some distant memory. This isn't us just reflecting on some historical story, some cute little anecdote about a saintly figure. Our God, the God at the center of who we are and what we are doing, fought death and won, transcended time and space, stamped in forever permanent marker that he is an always God. He is with us always. He is with you for always. He is inviting you, each and every one of you, into a journey of loving him. And he is loving you always. That, friends, is what an Easter people are. We can carry the assurance. We can carry the permanence of God's life. We can carry an "I'm with you always" promise. Easter people grasp an always God. We may not have him in the physical form that the Marys did on that day, but because of his conquering death, he is always with us. We can grasp him. Friends, we can grasp him. We can take two hands, grasp his presence, his living hope. We grasp God today with two hands, just like the Marys, in humility, in unhurriedness, in joy and anticipation. We can grasp an always God. And so be this is your 70th Easter, 90th Easter, maybe it's your first Easter. Easter people have the opportunity, the invitation, the joyous privilege, day in, day out, to grasp onto, to receive and accept an always God. This is the invitation embedded in this story of stories. He is death conquered. He is resurrection and life. He is our life. He is hope alive, experienced, known, felt and embodied. This hope has colour and sound and texture and permanence and presence in our life. This hope is alive. This hope is ours. This life is ours. This God is ours. This love is ours. Grasp, friends, and always God. Easter people, grasp and always God. Band, if you can please come. We as Easter people keep walking in the dark, anticipate the arise. Grasp and always guide. Is that who you are? Is that what you want to do? Is that who you were called to be? Friends, like I said, if this is an Easter you have been in countless times, or this is your first time, I'd encourage you to lean into this space today, to hear the invitation embedded here, to see yourself reflected in this story, not just as a historical anecdote, but to recognize that each of us are given the invitation to be an Easter people. Those that live with Jesus stamped on our hearts, set in our sights, to live in the resurrection reality. That this Easter story, Easter message will change our lives today in new ways, in fresh ways, in lined in the sand ways. Give us eyes to see, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to believe that we are an Easter people. If you can stand with me. Keep walking in the dark, anticipating the arise. Grasp and always God. Let me pray for you today, Easter people, on this Easter Sunday. May the God of hope, the God of resurrection life, the God who has risen, the God who compels us, the God who is with us always, may we see and know you again today. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all Easter Sunday represents. Thank you for your life. Thank you for conquering death. Thank you that we can be those who live in a posture of hope and anticipation. Thank you that there is no longer a blockage between Father God and us. Thank you that we can embrace you, grasp hold of you, be in relationship with you. Thank you, dear Lord, for what that means for each and every one of us here and now. May we live in the life again today. Grasp firmly onto all Jesus is. And may you be glorified in our midst today and always. Perfect Lord.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.